flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
So how was Waikiki?
It's great. It was my third favorite of the islands when I was out. It went Oahu,
yeah,
Lanai,
yeah,
Waikiki, the Big Island, and then Maui.
Yeah.
Maui's overrated.
Well, come on, man. Too soon.
I was sorry.
Jeez, man.
That's not what
give him a few years, all
right? Right, right. Let's build it back up.
So how you been? Other than coughing constantly.
I'm better now, yeah. Hopefully, I shouldn't be coughing too much today. I think I'm pretty good with that. The voice is a little, you know, haggard, but getting better every day, getting stronger every day. But I've been feeling good for the last few days, but just I needed to have that extra time. So I apologize. Sorry for missing.
I mean, the one thing
I feel
is
terribly guilty.
Yeah, I know. It's a really weird feeling because I always feel like when I'm sick, I feel like I'm letting people down.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Well, you're letting me down every time you're sick. For
well,
sure.
I try not to.
Which is why I feel guilty because how can I?
Dude,
it's like how I feel if you're gone. I'm like, come on, man.
Yeah, it sucks, but it's good to have you back.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm going to ask you this question, but I know you were out sick. Anything exciting the last few days?
You know what? It is sad what I did with my time off. When I say time off, I mean with my being sick. I didn't leave the house from the time I got home on Friday. I did some grocery shopping after the show. Mm-hmm. And got home at whatever it was, 3 o'clock, and I didn't leave my house again until this morning.
Really?
I stayed in the whole time, never went. I didn't even go outside until yesterday to go get my mail, and I was surprised at how little mail there was. And I also didn't take advantage of the thing that you should take advantage of when you're sick.
Get caught up on TV?
Yeah. I didn't start watching Severance. I didn't start watching Squid Game, the second season. I didn't start watching 1883 after I just got the app, you know, and all this stuff. I was glued to watching stupidity on TV on the news channels. And it was...
What a blown opportunity when you're sick for, like, days.
I'm so disappointed with myself.
I'm disappointed in you.
I imagine you guys are pretty disappointed. You know,
you've
how
let
much
us
I
all
love.
Down,
yeah.
Scott.
Yeah. I only watched...
Did you watch, like...
I watched a movie.
Do you watch HGTV, anything like
that? Yeah, well, that's, I mean, my normal shows that I watched. Yeah, but I watched a movie on Friday night. I watched Gladiator 2. You don't have to.
No.
No.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Yeah, it was disappointing. It was very disappointing. It had like one.
You were not entertained.
I was not. There was like an 8-minute period there. I'm like, okay, here we go. Is this going to redeem it? And I'm like, no, not really. It was just, the first one is so good. You didn't need to have a second one. It was just contrived. And
Doug, Denzel Washington was in this,
yeah,
this
one. Yeah, he actually was. Yeah.
So Gladiator 2, yuck throat in the garbage?
Yuck throat in the garbage. Mm. Nothing like having Denzel Washington playing a role in a movie during like the Roman Empire times, and he sounds like he's from the Bronx. The only thing he didn't say was "my man." That would have been funny, you know, if like the gladiator had chopped the head off of one of the other gladiators, and then Denzel reaches that "my man." It was utterly ridiculous to have him in this movie.
Was it?
Yeah, I'm like, I love Denzel Washington. He's amazing. He's an incredible actor. I'm like, what are we gonna get here? Little accent, which I've always found interesting with the movies about like Roman times and stuff, is that everybody has an English accent. Everyone.
Right.
Like, wait a minute, these are Italians. What are we talking about? Like, no, it's there's an English accent. And he's not even trying. Hey, he doesn't even try.
He doesn't even try an English accent?
No, like Russell Crowe, who's Australian, was the original in Gladiator, his character was the Spaniard, and yet he was speaking with an English accent. You got Denzel Washington involved, and it's like, it's the same voice you're hearing from the movie Inside Man. I mean, it was awesome and yet ridiculous.
Was this Training Day Gladiator 2?
You're not hearing the F-bombs dropping, you know, we're doing a bump of coke or something. But it's like,
did he have a cell phone?
He did not have a cell phone. It's just so stupid. I'm like, what is this? Everyone around him has an English accent, you know? Everyone's very serious and with a dialogue. And then he's like straight up from the movie Flight. I mean, what are we doing?
Then he tell the crowd, King Kong ain't got nothing on me. They're like, who's King Kong, sir?
So, yeah, I was disappointed with Gladiator. To say the least. I mean, anybody else who watched it, if you're watching this and it had, I mean, tell me you had the same thought, right? Like, what am I seeing here? Ooh, Denzel, here we go. What's his part going to be? Completely made up. Okay. And, all right.
Is that Ray Allen? Okay. Took a turn.
They have AIDS in the Roman times? Philadelphia. See what I did there?
Yeah, I did.
Trying to come up with any kind of Denzel movie.
Well, I'm disappointed in you for watching only Gladiator 2.
That was I mean, I saw bits of other movies that I've seen before, but that was the only new movie that I actually tried to watch.
Yeah. And do you ever pull the plug on a movie and just say, I'm out? Because I do it frequently.
I know you do. I have a hard time doing that. It has happened. I just can't. If it's happened, it's been with movies that we've never heard of. They're just, you know, something that shows up on cable. There's a movie that's been on for like the last few months that you would think I'd be interested in, right?
Okay.
You got Mel Gibson and Cole Hauser, Rip Wheeler, right?
Oh,
guy plays Rip.
Yep.
The movie's called Panama. I have tried like several times to watch this movie. It is so bad. So bad. It's one of these straight-to-video type movies, you know, that they probably made in 3 days. So when Cole had a vacation from Yellowstone, he's like, you guys got me for a week. Okay, let's get it done. It's awful.
Is it?
It's awful. And I'm like,
what's it about?
But it's Rip Wheeler. It's about something that happens in Panama with the CIA and stuff. It's terrible. It's with drug dealers and this, that. It's awful. It's just awful. It's funny because when you go through the cast and stuff like that, you know, I'll also say, like, if you watch this, you might like to watch this.
Right.
People also like this. So I start looking at those movies. Yeah. Invariably, there are four Bruce Willis movies you've never heard of.
Is that right?
That were all filmed between like 2019 and 2021. And if you've ever watched any of those, Oh boy, God help you.
They're just terrible.
God help your soul if you've ever watched one of those Bruce Willis movies. Well, sadly, Bruce Willis is in a state right now where he's kind of incommunicative. So it's sad, and you could see it in these movies where he's clearly not Bruce Willis anymore. Yet they'll, and yes, we're going to use the term, parade him out there.
Wow.
To collect a paycheck, and it's just sad. And this is what's, and this is what Mel Gibson's relegated to now too. But maybe for other reasons.
Well, it's great to have you. Great to have you back. And none of this was on the show sheet.
Well, big fan, Doug.
Scott Anderson is back, battling a cough all week. Good to have you back here. We got lots to get to today. Pistons with a game tonight. Red Wings with a nice win at Edmonton. We got some Lions news that we will actually get to today at 10:18. Here on Carson Anderson, Gators back, 97.1 The Ticket. You want to add the one last observation from Gladiator 2?
I need to. And I apologize for not bringing this up earlier, but thankfully, the great folks on Twitch have brought this up. Kitech said, Gladiator 2 lost it for me when it got to the flooded Colosseum scene with the sharks.
The Roman Colosseum?
That's right.
There were sharks.
There were sharks. Not only were there sharks, but they had these warships that they had in there too that they brought into the Colosseum, in the flooded Colosseum. So the gladiators were all in these, and they were the big one, the ones, the rowing ones that you got to row, the giant ones.
Yeah,
two of those, one with gladiators on it, the other with like the guard, and they rammed the boats into each other, and then people get, you know, thrown off the boat, and of course you die because there are now sharks swimming in the Colosseum.
Which begs a
million questions. First of which, who's the shark wrangler on duty? How do you go? You go into the Mediterranean, grab a shark. We got one. All right, bring it to the Colosseum. I got it. Okay. How you doing that?
Right.
And then we've managed to figure out a way where we can flood the Colosseum. What are we? We're gonna just pump water in? Are we that close? We got the hose.
They got the pool guy to do it.
I mean, so back in the day, they could find a way to pump water into the Colosseum deep enough for two warships and freaking sharks. But today, we can't find a way to spray water from the ocean onto the shoreline of California to fight forest fires. I just want to make sure
I got to tell you, I think Gator reviewing terrible movies might become a thing here on the Carson Anderson program.
Thank you, Kitech, for bringing that up. I can't believe I forgot that. I mean, when I saw that, I just started laughing. Like, is that a shark? Like, all right, forget how they get the water in the Colosseum, you know? But shark?
They lost it for me when Vin Diesel showed up with the souped-up Fiero. That's when I bowed out. I can't believe you lasted that long, Gator.
Yeah. They started talking about the Emperor's tweet.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So Lions. Lions in the news here a little bit with David Shaw being brought on as passing game coordinator. Yep, that David Shaw, the former head coach at Stanford. He was in personnel with the Broncos. Tom Pelissero of NFL Network said, this is a big hire for Dan Campbell's remodeled staff. We all remember, I think most people remember David Shaw from his time at Stanford, and he was, there's two things about this that really, you know, one is it's John Morton's, the new offensive coordinator, his stamp on the staff, bringing a guy from Denver, and two is Tanner Engstrom is apparently gone. Now, did they know he was leaving and taking a job with either, because right now there's no reports of him taking another job just yet. I suspect he will be taking another job. Is this a Lions, okay, you're going to leave, we need to find a guy? Or is it a, you need to find a new job kind of thing. I suspect it's the you're going to leave, we got to find a guy. But
I would think that would be it. And it's interesting because I'd love to know behind the scenes, how does that work? When you have two coordinators that are leaving the team to take head coaching gigs,
yeah,
do they start talking to each other? Like, does Ben Johnson pick up the phone and talk to Aaron Glenn and say, okay, look, we're both head coaches now. We're both probably going to raid the staff here. You know, what are you going to go? What do you want? You know, can we, you know, we have to Rochambeau for it. What do we got here? And because obviously Ben Johnson took guys and now Aaron Glenn's taking
a guy. I doubt they talk to each other because they're now, unfortunately, like what they are. They're competitors. They're enemies. I doubt there's a negotiation. I think there's only a negotiation with a candidate where you're trying to outbid the other guy or make your job sound better for the, if they're both going after Tanner Engstrand. But, you know, I don't think there's some friendly discourse.
You don't think so?
No, I don't. I think it's just...
Is it just I'd like to think that there is? Everybody gets along. We're all friends here.
I mean, you could if you care to think that way, but...
It's the NFL. It's nice and warm and fuzzy.
But, hey man, I mean, look, the David Shaw hire is interesting, and I think it's... I mean, you when a new coordinator comes in, that guy gets some say. That guy gets to put together... It, you know, at least to a degree, his staff. It's not as if Dan Campbell has no say. I'm sure Dan Campbell has to be on board with it as well. But this feels like John Morton's first touch is to go get a passing game coordinator. Look, what happened this year in Denver with Bo Nix was awfully impressive. Bo Nix and Jared Goff are different kinds of quarterbacks, but it's still... I mean, you talk about a dude who must have made an impression when he was here. Johnny Morton, our new offensive, not the player. Are we calling him John or Johnny? How are we going to do this?
I don't know, man. I got confused.
I mean, it's
like, it's not that Johnny Morton.
No, but I don't want to confuse the audience either. Like,
right.
Like, we got to come up with a rule. What's the rule? Anyway, the new OC, Jay Morton, is, you know, he's putting his touch on this thing.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what it's going to look like. I don't think it's going to look terribly different than what we've seen. But
it shouldn't.
Yeah, right? But he had been here a couple years ago, and they really liked him a couple years ago before they let him go on to greener pastures and do his thing. So, I mean, they have confidence. They know who he is. It's obviously it shouldn't be the exact same.
No.
And we know that losing Ben Johnson is a loss. There's no question about that. But when you're bringing in a guy who was here a couple of years ago, you also know that it's getting the quarterback stamp of approval because they've said this publicly.
No way it's not.
Yeah. I mean, they've said publicly that they're going to have Jared Goff involved, want to make sure that Jared's comfortable with whoever the new OC is going to be. And so they could have gone from within with Scotty Montgomery or Tanner Engstrand or, you know, Mark Brunell or any bunch of guys, right? But they didn't, which I think that to me is interesting.
Do you find yourself more comfortable with the coaching, with the offense or the defense moving forward? Do either of these hires or do either of them worry you?
I'm not worried. They don't worry, I guess, is the wrong word.
I'm not trying to pan on Kelvin Shepard or John Morton. I'm just saying they're both replacing very well respected. I mean, who they are replacing were very well respected coaches here in Detroit.
I guess I'm more secure that the offense will be fine. The defense, I don't know yet.
Okay.
And I have a lot of confidence in what they're doing. I think they have a ton of confidence in Shepard. I think what Aaron Glenn had to say on the way out was great about Shepard and what he's going to be moving forward. So, I mean, I feel better about it. But if I have any concern, it would be more on the defensive side. Because what Aaron Glenn was able to get done.
Yeah.
With all the injuries, is nothing short of remarkable. And I don't know if an inexperienced guy would be able to have those results. I doubt it.
You know, I guess hiring a guy, how you're going to do if you have a historic amount of injuries is something I probably even wouldn't be thinking of. Right? I'd just be thinking of, okay, here's our defensive personnel. What can this guy get done with this defensive personnel? If you start getting into what are you going to do if everybody's hurt, I mean, I guess you do prepare for worst case scenario, but I don't know if it really figures into the hire per se. Kang, do you have a concern with either, you know, losing one of these guys or the other?
I don't have any real concern, but it's a great question if you ask me which do I have more concern for, you know? And if I had to pick which side I have more concern for,
yeah,
I would say it's the offense. And it's just because the relationship between Ben Johnson and Jared Goff was talked about so much and it was so strong, and both guys talked about it and Dan Campbell talked about it. You couldn't ignore the fact that when Ben Johnson took over officially as that offensive coordinator, the progress and the development you saw, and just, you know, the play of Jared Goff leaps and bounds above what it was when he first got here. With the defense, at least you're promoting a guy from within. So I think he generally knows the exact concepts and things that Dan Campbell wants to run. With the offense, you're bringing a guy from the outside in, and you're not promoting from within. So I think all those things you take into account, so which makes me, I would lean more concerned for the offense. Defensively, you're going to get back players as well, which with McNeil and Hutch, I think that helps a lot. But yeah, you know, it's talked about throughout the NFL, Doug, is the relationship between the coordinator and the quarterback.
Yeah. Well, I would have to think it was good when he was here. I mean, they aren't going to do something nonsensical.
Yeah, overall, I'm not concerned, but if I had to pick a side, I'd be more concerned with the offense.
All right, 248-539-9797. You want to continue this conversation. By the way, one of us said, a member of the show said, enough, it's time to end it.
Really?
Yeah, enough, it's time to end it. We will get to that today at 1031 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.
Well, 24 Seconds Bar and Grill in Berkeley is the best place for great food, a great atmosphere, and all the great specials they have during the great games you love to watch. You want to watch any sporting event? 24 Seconds is the place. In fact, for that big game coming up next Sunday, they have free squares and food and drink specials. They got specials for the Michigan and Michigan State basketball games as well. 20-ounce Miller Lite on special for $3.75. That's all day, every day. For Detroit hockey and basketball games, they got $4 bottles of Blue and Blue Light. Plus, trivia is back on Thursdays at 8 p.m. And 24 Seconds is also open for lunch on Thursdays and Fridays. And if you need any event or party catered, let 24 Seconds do it. They've got you covered. They'll cover work parties, celebrations, any kind of event. And if you're looking for a great place to work, 24 is also hiring cooks. No experience necessary. They will train you. Plus, 24 Seconds has a great seat for everybody. There's not a bad seat in the house. Flat screen, high definition TVs all throughout the place. It's awesome. The service is great. Food's even better. Check out all the specials and happenings they have at 24secondsbar.com and grab a taste of the action for yourself. It's my favorite place to go, 24 Seconds Bar and Grill on 12 Mile in Berkeley.
I'm Doug, and that is Scott. Gator's back. He fended off the vid. No, I don't, you didn't have COVID.
No, it was
he defeated a cough, and he is back.
I see Kenny's back, too.
Yep.
Hey, buddy.
Kenny was sick, too.
Yeah, there were rumors going around.
Yeah, there's a lot of these two should stop making out.
It's just rumors, man.
Yep. Yep.
That's why we didn't say anything.
Yep. No,
it's we're responsible around here.
What you do on your own times. Totally. All right, so 248-539-9797. A lot of feedback coming in on these Lions hires. Mike says, awesome, David Shaw. When I think of high flying passing attacks, I think of Shaw and Stanford. Wasn't the he was the offensive coordinator for Andrew Luck, right?
Was he there with Harbaugh?
I believe so. He was, I'm pretty sure. Let me go double check this. I mean, look, when he took over at Stanford, there was a lot of rushing attack, but he was the offensive coordinator, and he was the offensive coordinator from 2007 until 2010, and I believe he was the offensive coordinator for Andrew Luck. Shaw's unit successfully during his years as coordinator led by 2010 Heisman Trophy runner-up Andrew Luck. So, I mean, they threw it around. Will writes in, Brad Holmes needs to address defensive needs this offseason with as much enthusiasm as he did for Ben Johnson in the offense. Kelvin Shepard needs help. Okay, so we kind of had this debate earlier in the week, and that is whether or not they really truly have enough defensively if they're healthy. I mean, I'm not saying you don't you don't look to address some things, but they've got some cap space. If they dedicate a good portion of their free cap space to bring back Carlton Davis and maybe Derek Barnes, you know, Fatu Melifamu maybe as well, do they have to go out of house? And I know you want everything. Why don't they go get Khalil Mack? You know, why don't they go get, you know, insert name of expensive player here?
Mm-hmm.
But you can't unless that player takes a one-year contract. Because they go from having like the seventh most cap space in the league this offseason to the 28th most cap space in the league next offseason. And next offseason, they've got contracts that they have to figure out. Kirby Joseph is going to be very expensive. They got to pick up options on Hutch and presumably J-Mo, but maybe not. But you like that's the one that gets some debate. Like their money is kind of spoken for down the road, so they could maybe add something, but most of the best players aren't going to want one-year deals in Detroit.
No, but you know we see it happen all the time. Once you get past that flurry of free agency, that's where you start finding bargains. There's some really good players that you end up signing for just one-year deals. And I always thought it was interesting when they traded for Carlton Davis that they didn't extend him. I kept waiting. Oh, hey, news on the Lions extending Carlton Davis for 2 years, and it didn't happen. So are they in a position now where they'll say to Carlton Davis, we want to bring you back for 1 year?
If they can get Carlton Davis back, like there was a story, well, we'll get to it coming up. 248-539-9797. Let's go to Corey here on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Corey.
What's going on, fellas?
How you doing?
So I want to take you back to the 22 season, if you recall, when John Morton was here. Afterwards, if you go back to Dan Campbell's 23 combine media availability, he was kind of bummed out to lose John Morton. But it was kind of like a perfect storm for him, so to speak, because he lives in Denver in the off season, and due to his previous relationship with Sean Payton, it was kind of just the perfect storm for him. But, I mean, so I don't think it was necessarily, you know, just going on to greener pastures career-wise, but also family-wise. But another thing is, I mean, he served with Dan Campbell and Sean Payton's staff in 16 in New Orleans, and then I think the continuity between him and David Shaw is fantastic because their relationship goes back 20-plus years to Oakland during Gruden's first stint in Oakland, as well as Shaw serving in at Stanford under Roman and Harbaugh, as well as John Morton serving under Roman and Harbaugh in San Fran. So I think the continuity will be there, but yeah, I think the loss of Engstrand was big because even they have a previous relationship with it. Engstrand gotten into coaching in 2005. He was a GA under John Morton.
The Engstrand story is intriguing because I'm going to assume here that the Lions are aware of him probably taking a job on Aaron Glenn or Ben Johnson's staff. I'm going to make that assumption that this is not anything other than that. And they basically went out and got the guy before that became public. But hey man, you know, they've moved relatively quickly. They bounced back and they, here's an underrated thing they did, and maybe it's not underrated, but we haven't brought up yet. Keeping Hank Fraley.
Huge.
Yeah. So now you've got a pass game coordinator that is, you know, seems to be part of a very good passing game with a rookie quarterback this past year in Denver. And he's got, you know, he had success with Andrew Luck when he was the offensive coordinator at Stanford. And my man just mentioned the resume. You got a run game coordinator and a well-respected guy that the offensive line absolutely loves and seems to be, you know, obviously a candidate that's got a good reputation around the league when he's interviewing for offensive coordinator jobs. So bottom line here is I'm feeling good about the offense. Feeling good about the offense.
Yeah, I've always kind of felt good about the offense. And the caller brought up the point, you know, he's here in 2022, right? Mm-hmm. Well, the second half of that season is where Jared Goff really took off. It was the first season he's here, or I should say the first season was rough, and then the second half of the season started to go. But that second season Goff was here in 2022, things really started to click.
Yep.
And then it was a matter of can the defense catch up, and they went 8-2 down the stretch and beat Green Bay at Green Bay to finish the season. It was fantastic. That offense was going really well. Yep. So this guy's been a part of that. He was a part of implementing a lot. I don't want to take anything away from Ben Johnson, because Ben Johnson was fantastic, and I'd rather have Ben Johnson, you betcha. Mm-hmm. But I feel a lot of comfort in knowing that they're bringing in a guy who was part of it, that we just don't remember too much because he went away, and when the Lions blew up, all the attention went on the OC.
Yeah, I'm not incredibly concerned or worried, but I will bring up, you know, the other side here, play devil's advocate a little bit. How many times have we heard in this league, this quarterback has changed the coordinators this many times? It's never a good thing. You know, quarterbacks don't want to change coordinators. Not that they have a final say. If a guy wants to leave or a guy, you know, gets promoted, he's going to leave. But to me, we hear that far too often for it not to be some kind of correlation there. You know, Jalen Hurts, when he had a down year last year, they blamed the coordinator. Guess what they did? They fired that coordinator. Now he's got another coordinator. Like, I know that no one prefers to keep changing coordinators, but I think it does have an effect. It can have an effect.
It can.
That doesn't mean that he can also get better. You know, there's that part too. This offense, I know it sounds crazy, but they can even get better. But I just wanted, you know.
I would agree with that if they had brought in somebody that had no history with Jared Goff whatsoever. If they went outside the organization and, you know, brought somebody from, you know, from the Chargers, had nothing to do with Jared Goff, nothing to do with Dan Campbell, nothing to do with this offense at all, I'd be okay. I'm a little concerned because we don't know. But because this guy was here a couple years ago and clearly has a rapport with Goff.
Yeah, okay. Maybe so. But also the Eagles promoted a guy from within last year and they fired him the following year.
But the Lions made it a point to say publicly that they were going to include Jared Goff in these discussions, that they weren't going to bring in somebody that he wasn't comfortable with.
Well, there's no guarantees it's going to work. Let's be clear. But it doesn't sound like it's a logical thing. All right, I mentioned before the break, somebody said enough. This was on last night, and Ken came in today and said enough. Enough of?
The NFL Pro Bowl games. That's enough. And I don't even know what it is anymore. Did you guys watch any of it?
I had it on. I was watching Baker Mayfield throw at giant screens and get points.
I saw a video on Twitter about, I watched Goff's run because I saw that Goff had the best score. I'm like, I'm not going to waste my time watching Baker throw, or, you know, Sam Darnold throw, or Joe Burrow. Let me watch. Because somebody had said something, oh, Joe Burrow was on fire. I'm like, okay. Well, then why is it that Goff had like 15 more points? Let me watch Goff's run. That was So I saw that clip. I saw the clip of...
You saw clips. You didn't actually watch
clips.
It.
I didn't
watch
it.
Okay. I watched Justin Jefferson put on Mickey Mouse gloves and try to catch a football. And I said, all right, that's enough.
That's a Pro Bowler right there.
Yeah, that's a Pro Bowl. Yeah.
Yeah, they did that, didn't they?
Yes, they did, Doug.
Yep.
He put on these huge white gloves, bigger than soccer goalie gloves. You're familiar with those, Doug.
Yes.
These are literally like Mickey Mouse type gloves that Mickey Mouse wears in Disney World. And he tried to catch footballs with him. Now, I understand the money makes the world go around. And if you get ratings and you sell advertising, you make money, you just continue to do it. But I think there is a point where the money doesn't help your product overall. And I think if people talk poorly about your product because of this exhibition you continue to try to put on, and then, by the way, you're down to your fifth, sixth Pro Bowl alternate, you know, is Drake May a Pro Bowl quarterback now? I don't even, you know, because of this, because guys got Cancunitis and they don't want to even be there.
It feels like it's kind of just who they can get to
show
up.
Exactly. It's a participation bowl at this point.
Yep.
Well, these are the games leading up to the actual flag football game that they do, right?
Yeah.
So they're just trying to make it interesting. It's just skills stuff. They're trying to make it interesting, and apparently that was too much for Kang, all this.
Yeah, well,
I just think it's hurting the product overall. The NFL, everyone makes fun of it. Does anyone go, awesome?
Well, I didn't even watch it, so I didn't even know it was on.
Yeah, it's they're hanging on to an archaic paradigm of trying to fit something in with all-stars when they're just not going to play a game. So they're looking for something. If the only thing that would make this valuable is if it makes money for the player's retirement fund, or for, do the Pro Bowl games make money for any good reason?
I don't know, man. I have no interest in the, I haven't watched it in forever. I don't care.
I know they already got rid of the game, the actual game, because that was just complete farce, right?
Right.
Now they've gone to this stuff and the flag
football game.
And I don't even think that's worth it for players and how much money they make and how much they're worth to their teams to get hurt in a flag football game.
Well, it wouldn't be. Yeah. But okay. are they going to go to get the vacation and get paid for it?
I mean, it's Orlando.
Yeah, well, it's still a week in Orlando that you're not paying for, and they'll actually pay you money.
Apparently, it raises money for the NFL's retirement plan and for the NFL Player Care Foundation, which is basically former players that need basic living expenses and housing costs paid. So there is that, if this is an accurate Google search. 248-539-9797. Hey, coming up at 11:05, we got to talk about that Wings win last night at Edmonton. And something we're constantly searching for in Detroit, we've seen it recently, and we're searching for it. We will get to that. We want more. We'll get to that today at 11:05 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1. Hey, they're Lions fans all season long at UMCU, the official credit union of the Detroit Lions. What an epic season they just had. And you know, it was a hell of a ride and obviously disappointing in the end. But they did clinch back-to-back NFC North championships, the one seed. Jahmyr Gibbs shattered the record for most touchdowns in a single season. And to celebrate this, UMCU has a great offer for you right now. Earn 4% on CDs. That's right. Secure your funds and watch your savings grow with confidence. Confidence you have in the head coach. Confidence you have in the GM. Confidence you have in Gibbs being one of the best young stars in the league. That's right. Confidence that the Lions will be back. Celebrate the Detroit Lions with 4% on CDs at UMCU. And you only need $1,000 to get started. Promotion is available for a limited time, so join the winning team today. It's easy. Visit umcu.org. That's umcu.org. Some restrictions apply.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Unnamed texter writes in, I'm more secure about the Lions offense, but I'm more excited with the new defensive coordinator. He can potentially make us a top five unit. Let's be honest, they can't be much worse than they were under Glenn over 4 years.
I guess you weren't paying attention to what Aaron Glenn was doing.
I mean, to me, Aaron Glenn is, he was fighting with one hand behind his back. And, you know, some of the guys they were parading out there were, you know, edge rusher 6, cornerback 5. It was tough. And, you know, the one thing about Aaron Glenn, and we talked about this a little bit when he was here, but I have a lot of faith in him being a good head coach because I think he gets buy-in. I think he gets his guys to buy in. And the skill set to become a head coach is different than a skill set to be a great coordinator. And I think, you know, he feels to me like this is a dude that this is a dude that really gets people to do what he asks.
So the 4 years Aaron Glenn was here as defensive coordinator, the first year, Lions gave up 27.5 points a game, second to worst in the league. The next year, they gave up 25 points a game, that was fifth worst in the league. So slight improvement. The next year, they gave up 23.2 points a game, which was about ninth in the league, ninth worst in the league. Then this past year, they gave up 20 points a game, which was good enough for seventh in the league. Seventh in the league at 20.1 points a game with a defense that was without everybody that they were without. We all know who the players are.
Yeah,
and if you want to go out and denigrate what Aaron Glenn did, you're just misinformed. You don't understand how good he was.
Yeah,
with what he had to work with.
Fun little note, by the way, and the Birchie kid did a story about David Shaw coming in as passing game coordinator and pointed out that David Shaw's dad, Willie, was the Lions defensive backs coach in the mid-80s. And at the time, David Shaw was at Rochester Adams.
I did not know that.
Yeah, where he was a wide receiver. Did anybody out there play with him? Anybody play against him? Remember playing against David Shaw? 85-88?
Well, he would have been there. In high school, would have been a little bit later than that.
His father, Willie, was the team's defensive back coach from 85-88. Shaw, a teenager at the time, attended Adams High School, where he was started a wide receiver.
Yeah, I'm just looking at how old he is.
Yeah.
So he would have been a sophomore when I was a senior.
Okay, so you wouldn't have played against him.
No, we didn't play against Adams, even though they were close to us, but we did not play him. I'm just saying he would have been like 87, 88, 89.
Would have been when he was playing. Yeah. Well, apparently he was on the Adams High School team as a wide receiver. So I don't know if anybody played against him, but be kind of cool.
I mean, you know what's crazy? Like David Shaw's name has been around for 20 years. You know, back in the days of Stanford and all that. And yet was never really, I don't remember it ever being brought up that he was a local guy for a while.
Yeah.
Let alone he was from Adams. He went to Rochester Adams. That's kind of crazy to me.
248-539-9797. Well, asking you shall receive. Brian is in Pontiac and on 97.1 a ticket. Hello, Brian.
Hey, how you doing? I grew up with David Shaw. He was a year older than me. And we went to Adams and Van Hoosen Junior High together. I also played some Gus Macker tournaments with him growing up.
Nice.
Great guy, great family man. He even played a great joke on me my sophomore year. I got called up to varsity basketball. Our point guard went down against Pontiac Central or Northern, and I had no thoughts of getting in the game, and he told me that the coach wanted me in the game at the time. I got up nervous to rip off my pants, and he started laughing hysterically and told me he was only joking that I wasn't going in. So had some really fond memories of him. He's a great guy. I think he's even helped save his younger brother's life, and just a great, great guy.
Well, a couple things, some follow-ups. What do you remember about him as a football player?
So, for the time, there's two athletes in my life. I played basketball at a small college in Ohio. Two athletes growing up that I distinctly remember as the best athletes that I've been around, and he is one of them. I remember him jumping over a 10 speed in ninth grade and dunking a basketball. I thought that was the greatest
thing
ever.
That's pretty impressive.
Real humble. I can't say enough about him and really how good of a guy he is.
That's awesome. Well, we appreciate the phone call and the intel, Brian. Played with him. Played with him in Gus Macker's. Joke played on him. Jumped over a 10 speed.
And dunked.
I was at a Gus Macker once in the dunk contest, and a guy tried to jump over somebody in a chair. Tried.
Oh, no.
It was an epic disaster. I have never seen a gym erupt in so much laughter. It was so funny.
Full on.
Just
pelvis to the face.
I mean, total. And by the way, came so far away from accomplishing it that it made you wonder what they were thinking to even try it.
That's great.
Like the buildup was classic. And then the actual effort made me think that this was never, ever physically possible. I knew the guy too.
Who tried?
Yeah.
What'd you say to him afterwards? Like, dude, what?
He laughed about it. Everybody laughed about it. I almost wondered if he knew he wasn't going to make it and was just like, let's have some fun.
I thought maybe the moment I was going to get the adrenaline, the crowd had me pumped up.
Yeah. Yeah, it was not good. So anyway, David Shaw coming in to be a part of the Detroit Lions staff. 248-539-9797. More feedback. The NFL could use the revenue. Oh, this is about the Pro Bowl. NFL could use the revenue from one streaming game they sell for $150 million to fund the NFL pension. They don't need a Pro Bowl fundraiser. Yeah, I mean, they could, but they don't. They use that to line their pockets.
Yeah, if only they had a way to make money to help the former players with health insurance.
If only.
If only. We'll come up with
the league is looking. We're going to spitball some things.
Yeah, right. Try to find.
Hey, Marty, you think we can do this?
Wendy, do we have the wherewithal to try to contribute some funding to the former players? We can do that.
Your Marty Bird impression is fantastic.
Mr. Navarro, I think we can do this.
They did a newlywed type game between the players and this thing. That's from Max and Bath. They really missed a sponsorship opportunity with Hamburger Helper with the catch competition. The big, huge mitts.
They could have gave that money to the retirees.
Yeah. By the way, the Hamburger Helper guy, he's a little needy, isn't he? So he's got the handout. It's like, dude, I just gave you a high five like 5 seconds ago. What am I supposed to do?
Why are we doing this again? 248-539-9797. Let's go. Red Wings. How about them? How about them last night winning at Edmonton? Best team in the West. Gotta love it. We'll get to that. And they've done something lately that's awesome. We'll get to that today at 11:03 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.